Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you and greet you in that name which is above every name, the wonderful name of Jesus. I'm so glad you joined me today. And as I was seeking the Lord for what He would have me share with you, He caused me to think about the presence of the Lord. Is there anything that we desire more in our lives? The Psalms talk about the presence of the Lord in this manner. In thy presence is fullness of joy, David said, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so we're going to spend the next few days looking at a subject that I think you'll find just absolutely fascinating, because the Word of God is so rich. Everything in the Word of God is a portrayal of Jesus or God's plan for man. And we're going to be looking at the temple of the living God. One of the scriptures I've always loved is found in Isaiah, the 57th chapter, verse 15. And it talks about, you know, where does God dwell? Well, offhand, we'd say, well, He's in heaven right now. But also, Isaiah the prophet had this revelation: thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Praise God. So we see that the very heart of God, as we read the Word of God, His desire is to fellowship with man. As we read the opening pages of the Word of God in Genesis, we see that God created man in His own image and likeness, and He was perfectly content and sustainable. The Trinity needs nothing, and yet because they are manifest love, one of the aspects is love is that you want to share. And so He wanted a family. He wanted children, sons and daughters, who that He would not only be like Him, be like their dad, if you will, but that there could be sweet and precious fellowship. As we look to the Old Covenant, when the law was given to Moses, it says Moses on Mount Sinai went up to the God of Israel to receive the law and the commandments. And in Exodus 25 and 8, it's recorded where the Lord says, let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them. Isn't that a beautiful expression of God's heart? He wants to dwell with His people. That's always been His intention. He's always delighted to fellowship with man. We see that in the very beginning. He dwelt with Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember, the scripture says that He came down in the cool of the day to walk and talk with them. He dwelt with Israel while they were in the wilderness and in their 40 years of wandering. He dwelt in the temple among His people, His worshipers. And He also, as we know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God dwelt, His manifest presence was filled the very person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And where is He today? Well, today the Lord is not just in heaven, because one of His traits is He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at once. He abides in His people through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting, even though He is omnipresent, God does not choose to dwell in every living human being. No, He's very much a gentleman. He has to be asked. And so while man walks the face of the earth, the nations of the world, they have natural life, but they're spiritually dead. But the moment they respond to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and they're seeking after God, well, God says they will be found of the Lord, and he will reveal himself to them. In fact, I understand he's doing that in a marvelous way in Muslim countries where the gospel can't be preached. People are having visions and Jesus is appearing. Why? Because he wants to connect. He wants each individual heart to welcome him in. So we want to be looking now at the subject, the temple of the living God. And what is a temple? Well, it's simply a place or a building devoted to special purposes, especially religious purposes. And in the 8th and 9th chapter of Hebrews, we see the word talks about the first covenant that God had with Israel and the new covenant that has been established by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first covenant had ordinances of divine service and a physical, literal sanctuary. Hebrews 9 and 11, and this is the Living Bible, speaking of Jesus, came as a high priest of this better system which we now have. He went into that greater, perfect tabernacle in heaven, not made by man, nor part of this world, and once for all took blood into that inner room, the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. But it was not the blood of goats and calves. No, he took his own blood, and with it he, by himself, made sure of eternal salvation. And so, beloved, what we see in the Word of God, there's types and shadows that reflect spiritual truths and realities. When we look at the present and past dispensations, the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, we see that the temple has a particular significance in Scripture. In the tabernacle in the wilderness, for example, it says God walked with his people. And in the temple, God's people, the literal temple, God's people dwelt with him. They would come and worship and offer the sacrifices that were outlined by the Lord through Moses in the Old Covenant. So in Scripture, and this is very important, I want you to grasp, because we're going to be looking at in detail, and it's just really such a beautiful picture, that the temple is really a type of the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, as well as the individual believer. So it's a picture of the corporate church, the body of Christ, as well as you and I. And this is absolutely fascinating. I enjoyed pulling this together, but we're going to be looking at the various aspects of the temple. First of all, there was the building of the temple, and there's 8 points I want to share with you. There's the purpose that God had in the building of the temple. There's 7 points I'll be sharing with you. And then the actual possession or occupancy, if you will, of the temple by the Lord. And it was a meeting place where God and his people could meet. And there's 4 points I want to share with you on that. But now let's take a look at the temple in Scripture. Let's take a look at what they did as recorded in the Word, how they were in the time of Jesus. How was that temple being used? Well, it had been built, obviously, but we see a rather dramatic moment in the life of Jesus. In John, the 2nd chapter, it's recorded, verse 21, it says, Jesus, immediately after he had driven the money changers out of the temple, remember, he did that, he had a whip and he just drove them out, turned the tables over, and again, this is a Living Bible, the Jews asked, what right have you to order them about? Order them out, actually. If you have this authority from God, show us a miracle to prove it. And Jesus replied, all right, destroy this sanctuary, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. What? They exclaimed. It took 46 years to build this sanctuary, and you can do it in 3 days? Of course, they didn't understand what his reference was. That reference he was talking about was his physical body. We, beloved, are the body of Christ. So the temple, therefore, is a type of the body of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 21. There Paul is saying, now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So the temple is a type of the church of Jesus Christ. And then we also know it's a type of the individual believer, because we see in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Praise God. Well, beloved, I want to stop here, and tomorrow we're going to be looking at God's beautiful plan of redemption, and we're going to be looking at the Old Testament as a type of the individual believer in the body of Christ. And we're going to be specifically looking at what went into the building of the temple. And there's absolutely fascinating applications for us as individual believers, what happened when we came to Christ. But for now, I'd like to give you an invitation to write and share your prayer requests. There's a few letters I'd like to share that have come in recently. A sister writing from San Francisco, and she writes, Dear Sister Judith, although you've not heard from me in quite a while, I am grateful for your ministry. Each evening, your words of comfort, encouragement, and exhortation are a balm. Your correspondence is also great to receive. Thank you for your faithfulness in the Lord's service. She goes on to share some personal things. She says, thank you for your ministry of love, a sister writing from San Francisco. And then there's a letter from a brother writing from Franklin, Tennessee, and she says, Dear Sister Judith, I was really moved and happy for you as I read your newsletter. The Lord is continuing to walk you through this life and fulfill his destiny through you with each step. I still recall the profound impact you and Brother Glass had upon me when I was a young Christian listening to KFAX. Your reward in Christ is greater than you know. Thank you for the years of blessing to me that I cannot repay. Bless you in your new home, and thank you, a brother writing from Franklin, Tennessee. Praise God. Well, my time is gone. I invite you to be part of my spiritual family. God bless you. I love you. Thanks for listening, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.